You Everybody to the December meeting of the Upper Trinity Crown Water Conservation District Board. We're meeting here in our offices in Springtown and online. If you're watching online and wish to speak on any item on the agenda, if you'd hit the chat function and let Doug know, he'll advise me at that proper time. Director Watts, would you call roll, please, sir?
Jared Reynolds.
He's sick.
Richard English.
No longer.
Shannon Nave.
Here.
Tim Watts here. Don Micah.
Here.
Brent Wilson.
He's absent.
Mike Berkeley.
Here.
Tracy Missler.
Here. We do have a quorum. Remind everybody it takes 5 affirmative votes to pass anything. Brother, please stand and join us in the Pledge of the Flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one indivisible.
Thank you. First item on the agenda is a special call meeting to discuss and consider adoption of desired future conditions for the Trinity Aquifer Group as described in the notice of special call meeting on before December 5th. Doug?
Sir, this is kind of more or less a formality. Chapter 36 requires that once DFCs are adopted by the GMA, submitted to the Texas Water Development Board, once they're deemed administratively complete, that the district shall adopt DFCs relevant to the district as soon as possible. July 26th, GMA adopted final DFCs. They were adopted by, just like last time, and we've gone over this before, we submitted all this stuff to them, but by aquifer for the entire GMA, for the groundwater, for the GCD, and by county. Just a few months ago, we got a letter from the Water Development Board saying explanatory report was administratively complete. So this is our special called meeting to adopt the DFCs. So just I'll go through them real quick. The relevant DFCs on the aquifer basis. So this is for the entire Trinity group, right? So everything from, you know, Northeast Texas all the way down to almost Austin. You're looking at the Paluxy, the Glen Rose, Twin Mountains, and Antlers for us. That's feet of drawdown from 2010 through 2080. This is at our district level for the Antlers, the Paluxy, the Glen Rose, and the Twin Mountains. For our district, we separated it for outcrop and down dip. As you can see, there's a big difference between the two, so we chose not to average them. And then on a county basis, here are the DFCs. Again, for the Antlers, Paluxy, Glen Rose, and Twin Mountains, and the outcrop and down dip portions. Again, these are the DFCs based on the pumping we submitted 3-4 years ago. I've gone through that process, and basically we've just got to adopt these now, and then we'll start updating our management plan to incorporate these DFCs into our management plan. And I'm happy to take any questions.
There was only marginal difference between the previous set and this, correct?
Correct. Correct. There was just a, basically the differences are due to Tracy, you probably remember, but we went through and did a complete audit of pumping and reattribute it to the correct aquifer. We went through all the wells and then actually had some updated pumping. So that's basically what it boils down to is updated pumping is that was what caused the differences.
And GMAA is about to go into a new round.
Correct. We just started the new round. We're getting ready to start the new round.
So
we'll be doing this again in 5 years.
The numbers are for, there's two sets of numbers, one for the entire watershed or the entire groundwater.
There's three sets. Yes, sir.
Okay. And then there's the localized for us.
Yeah.
By county.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 193 feet, that's not going to be in.
No, that goes back to, like I said, the ones that are really the most relevant to us are the county level ones.
193 feet for the 51 county.
Yep.
The entire GMA 8 area.
Yep. And that takes into account, you know, the big down dip portions where there's a lot more water.
Reading through it last night, is like, I don't think we have that much here. And when I got down to these pages, it's like, okay, that's
correct.
Well, and I asked a layman's question early on, first time around, was, okay, we're pulling down 40 feet of the antlers in Montague County. What's the average thickness of the antlers in Montague County?
Yeah, that was my
question. And I think that, and getting a little further astray from this, but in the long-range planning deal, if the 50-year plan is to draw down an aquifer 50%, what happens with poor souls that are in year 60, 70, 80, and 90? Because resistance and productivity are going to drop appreciably at that point.
Correct.
But this is a start of planning. We're on the front end of this 50 years, much less 70, 80, or 90. So.
Exactly.
You don't have to quite be so reactionary as I started out.
Yeah.
Board have any questions for Doug? Any comments online from the audience? We need to adopt resolution 22-008. Do I hear a motion?
I so move.
Motion by Director Nave. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Very well. And shall we close the special call session? It looks like 5:10. Open the public hearings, receive any public comments, request to contest in the general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and or requests for exceptions to the district's water well spacing minimum track size requirements. First one to discuss is Snader Properties LLC out of Glen Rose, an operating permit for well or proposed wells at a location of 4601 FM Roads 86 in Tolar. Doug?
Yes, sir. This one's really straightforward. Just before I go, I always put this up, operating permits. The board shall grant the lesser of reasonable non-speculative amount shown or the applicable annual production allowable per contiguous acre. And I'll go through that for each one, what that is. This one, like I said, is pretty quick. This is for a well. It's already an existing well down in Hood County, down southwest part of the county. It was a well that was drilled and used for rig supply for oil and gas use. The owner actually chose not to pursue a historic use permit. The maximum allocation that they can get, you know, obviously based on the acreage owned, which is 13.333 acres, multiplied by 500, multiplied by either the thickness of the aquifer or the depth of well. Tool says the thickness of the aquifer is 482 feet. The well is 497, so use that to 482. Comes out to just over 3.2 million gallons. They're asking for 2 million gallons a year. Like I said, it's pretty straightforward. It's already an existing well, so we didn't do an impact analysis of it because it's not a new well. The GAM tool is down, so we didn't run the GAM. But again, it's pretty straightforward. They're asking for well under what they could be allocated, provided staff with reasonable estimates of how they came to that 2 million gallons per year. And like I said, it's an existing well, so they're just asking for the operating permit. And because they're asking for something that's allowable under district rules and provided us with a description of their use that show it's non-speculative, my recommendation is to approve operating permit 62HOP as presented in the amount of 2 million gallons per year.
Does the board have any questions? Is there anybody here to speak on it? I don't believe there is. You've heard the general manager's recommendation to approve. I hear a motion to approve operating permit 062-HOP. Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second? Second by Director Watts. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Doug, just a point for next time.
Yes, sir.
On the agenda, put the operating permit number.
Okay.
Item B, applicant is New Fairview in Mud, number one, out of Fort Worth. Operating permit amendment and exception to minimum well spacing requirements. north of Pioneer Road within the Fairview Meadows subdivision, requesting 58.4 million gallons per year. Doug?
Yes, sir. This one's a little bit more complicated. They're actually application for three new wells. It's an existing subdivision. You guys are familiar with it. They've, you know, have existing wells out there. They came in early on with multiple well applications. But it's there in New Fairview, just in eastern, southeastern Wise County. They're asking for three new wells, all at 200, just over 200 gallons a minute. They've got two existing wells that they're producing out of right now. You'll see in the image on the right, the boundary of the property. It's about 634 acres owned by the developer, or within the MUD boundary. So again, the MUD is the applicant. So of the three wells, I'm going to go through each of them because each of them are requesting some sort of exception. I would say on the front end, you guys may remember this. I think it was the first meeting after we moved into this building. They actually submitted 10 well applications, five twin well sites. After a lot of pushback and input from the folks that lived to the south, that were all had domestic wells in the shallow part of the aquifer. You know, we had some conversations with developer and they had agreed that, you know, moving forward, they were only really pursuing the deep portion of the aquifer to limit impact to the folks around there. And as such, the two wells they've drilled are both deep wells to the bottom of the aquifer, 860, 900 feet. And they're proposing the same, each of these 860 to 900 feet. So they're drilling down to the bottom of the aquifer and completing into the bottom of the aquifer so as to limit or minimize impact to existing wells in the area. And we've done some impact analysis and you'll see that, you know, based on modeling, it should have little impact on shallow wells in the area. But I'm going to go through each of the three wells they're requesting. 18374, that's 200 gallon a minute well. Their required spacing for wells of size, 3,250 feet from the nearest well, 1,000 feet from the property line. For this well, there are multiple wells within the 3,250 feet. If you'll notice the green dots, these are wells that meet the vertical offset. So in other words, you know, when we adopted our permanent rules, we put in a vertical offset requirement or stipulation that if your well's, you know, 100 foot, the top of completion in the deeper well is more than 100 foot lower than the bottom of completion in the shallower well, then spacing doesn't apply. So the only wells, this one, that are within the 3,250 feet that do not meet the vertical offset are other wells owned and operated by the applicant. And then there are two properties within 1,000 feet, as you can see in the map on the right, the two numbers. So both of those landowners were noticed.
Did we hear back from them?
We have not heard back. And I'll go through and I'll show you everybody that was noticed. We have not received comment from anybody that would receive notice. We hadn't received a phone call or a letter or anything from anybody that was noticed.
Wells registered?
The ones to the south? Yes, sir. We only have registered wells on the map. Yeah, these are all registered wells.
Are there any non-registered wells?
Likely. But for notice purposes, we don't.
I understand.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, 18... Well, ID 18552, again, 220 gallons a minute, 3,250 feet from the nearest well, 1,000 feet from the property line. So this one's kind of more in the central part of the development. There are three wells that fall within the required spacing. One of them is owned and operated by the applicant. Let me see, turn on my highlighter here. So you guys can see this right here. This well here, it's on the property within the boundary of the MUD, but it's actually owned and operated by BKV. And this well over here is also operated by BKV, oil and gas. BKV was formerly Devon. So BKV bought out Devon. They did receive notice. Have not heard back from them. You know, Clay, didn't hear back from Clay, have you? Yeah. This well meets all property line spacing. So you see the 1,000-foot circle. Here's the property line. So this well meets property line spacing. Well, 18943, again, asking for over 200 gallons a minute, 3,250 feet, nearest well, 1,000 feet to the property line. So this one's up on the kind of the northeast side, northwest side of the development. There's one well up here that is a shallow well. That's a registered well, but it meets the vertical offset requirements by hundreds of feet. And then the BKV well is within the spacing of this one. And then one of the other wells the applicant currently operates. And then the 1,000 feet, there are three properties within 1,000 feet. And all three of those property owners receive notice. So going back to what could be allocated to the applicant. So the property is the mud boundary is 634.507 acres. The average aquifer thickness is 677. The bottom of the aquifer is about 865. There's 100 and something feet of younger formations. I don't know if it's some Ouachita sitting on top of the Paluxy there. But the aquifer, the Trinity group itself is 677 feet. They're drilling to the base of it. So you multiply 634 by 677 by 500, but you've got to deduct out. So the applicant has a historic use permit within the boundary. This is amendment to an operating permit. So they have a current operating permit. And then the BKV well on the property also has a historic use permit. So that has to be deducted. So their total allowable allocation remaining after you deduct those volumes out is 140,768,320 gallons per year. The applicant is requesting 58,400,000 gallons. So we ran, and I didn't put all the results here because they're a lot. This is the impact analysis we ran. We simulated each well pumping. Their engineer provided us with minimum and maximum daily pumping. We used the pumping rates, annual pumping volumes submitted. We used all the registered wells in the area as part of the analysis, and then staff simulated shallow and deep wells at 3,250 feet and 1,625 feet from each of the proposed wells to get an idea of, you know, with some modeling, what kind of impact could be seen if these wells were produced and drilled and completed the way they are proposed. Quite a bit of impact through the pumping wells themselves, up to 100 feet of water level decline over the 10-year period. In the simulated deep wells, up to anywhere, they range anywhere from 45 to 58 feet of water level decline over a 10-year period in the deep wells. In the shallow wells, which, you know, was always our biggest concern, was the folks that lived around there that already had private wells. Model indicates up to 2.5 feet of water level decline over 10 years, which is, you know, not terribly significant. There was one registered well that showed a 4.5 feet of water level decline. That well was a little bit deeper than most of the other ones.
Do we think the 2.5 foot's realistic?
I do. There should be little
hydraulic connectivity.
There should be little to no hydraulic connectivity.
I guess where I was going is, do we think we're actually going to see that much because there's limited hydraulic connectivity?
It would surprise me if you saw that much.
After 10 years,
it would surprise me. You know, the thing is, and the reason we refer to the whole Trinity group as the antlers up there is because, you know, once you get south of here, you know, that Glenrose is primarily limestone. There is some shale and some clay and some sand in it, but it's primarily limestone and acts as an aquitard between the Paluxy and then the lower Trinity. As you move up there, it's pretty much, so when we drilled our monitoring wells here, the Glenrose is primarily clay. As you move north, it all turns to just interbedded sand and shale and clay, right? There's no regional aquitard, right? You might have some locally, you might have a thick layer of clay locally that kind of separates the two. But there's very little hydrologic connectivity, you know, between a 800 foot well and a 300 foot well in that area. So.
And if I remember correctly, Doug, we had a number of people, residents outside the area, very concerned about their shallow wells.
Correct.
And was Aqua handling this one?
No, sir.
Who was handling this for New Fairview listened and came back and dropped the shallow well, because they had twinned shallow and deep wells. They dropped the shallow wells off, so they had minimize the impact on the shallow wells and have gone deep, which is basically what we asked him to
do. Yeah, that was when Mr. Allen was working with us. He's one of the with the developers. And he agreed, you know, he understood, he heard. I think we had like 30 to 40 people register their wells after that. And it seems that they, you know, they were also, you know, they took that to heart. And it does seem that they've abandoned, I don't know what their long-term plans is, but it seems that they've abandoned the shallow portion of the aquifer.
Well, and it would seem like there's still room to play if they need to add more or if the wells don't produce it what
Correct.
They expect.
Correct. And I believe, Matt, I mean, those wells are producing pretty good. The ones y'all drilled, they're making 200 gallons a minute or so. Yeah, so I thought.
We have up to 7 well pipes, 30 well pipes.
Yeah. Okay.
We do plan on utilizing
all the
I was going to say, it seemed like reviewing the impact, some of the existing deep wells had somewhere around 50 feet, 54 feet of impact.
Yeah.
Is that just theirs or is that BKV's as well?
That would be BKV's as well.
They've not responded.
They have not responded. When's the last time BKV reported on those wells? Do you happen to know?
I don't. I mean, they use water, but I don't know.
I don't think they've used those wells in a while. I mean, I could find out, but I don't think they're using those wells currently or have recently.
How far back did we notify them?
We're required to notify them 10 days. I think we notified them about 12, 13 days ahead. Yeah. Yeah. We got it out pretty early.
That was the letter. Do we make any other attempt besides a letter?
They're usually pretty responsive if they're concerned about something. Yeah.
And you may not know, Matt may. What's the standing water in the hole? Static level. I mean, we're talking about 48. You know, we're talking about 48 of 60 or 48 of 200.
So Blaine knows.
He's looking.
Yeah. Okay. So there's 240.
So we're talking about 10%.
50 feet of water.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Shannon's correct. We need to keep watching this because sooner or later we're going to have an area compound on us.
Right. Correct. My recommendation is approval for the operating permit itself. They're asking for something well within what can be allocated. You know, I think they've provided us with a number of connections, this many gallons per connection. It's reasonable. And so my recommendation is to approve the amendment to the operating permit 023 WOP in the amount of 58,400,000 gallons. As far as the exception request, you know, if the board chooses to approve the exceptions, I would add our normal stipulations. You know, I know they're going to log the wells. So when they perform those geophysical logs, provide those logs to the district, provide all pump tests to the district, enter into agreement for the long-term ongoing measurement of water levels in the district. So they're monitoring wells and then work with the district to ensure the wells are completed in such a way that we can install the necessary equipment. And the reason I say that is because we've gone to using those Eno Scientific sounders that Jared turned us on to, and they work better. And Matt, you might find this interesting. They work better if they just go into the open casing rather than down a tube. You know what I'm saying? So basically we would just need a hole, you know, an access port at the top of the casing. Yeah, exactly. And we'd come out and go out at a 45 and that would pound off, go off to the side. Cause that the folks that make it said we could put a 45 on it and it would work fine. We usually go in and put them in. It's pretty simple. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we'll as long as, you know, we'll work with them. If they'll just give us a call and we'll tell them what we need done. So that, happy to answer any questions.
Board have any questions? Heard the general manager's recommendations. Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion we approve as stipulated in his recommendation.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second with the understanding that both parts are in the agreement.
Correct.
Right. Any further discussion?
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. And shall we end of the public hearings at 5:30 or 5:28? Moving to our regular board meeting. Because we've got two directors absent, I've tabled item one, which involves our board vacancy, until we can get everybody here. Item two, consent agenda, which are normal and customary items of non-controversial nature. Any board member can pull any of those items for separate discussion. Includes approval of minutes from our regular board meeting on November 17th, approved bank statements ending November 30th, and current financial reports to the district, improve the investment report, payment of bills and invoices received through December 15th, reimbursement of expenses incurred on behalf of the district through December 15th, and approval of requests for extension applications submitted through December 15th. We have at least one additional bill, correct?
Have expense report from Director Micah for $55 to add. Is there anything else in?
Mine.
Yeah, Tracy's.
It was added after they've seen it.
But it was added.
Yeah, it's for the entire year.
Yeah.
So.
Did you try to attempt to keep that up on the monthly basis?
When you do, have you ever turned one in?
Turn what in?
Expense report. Be careful. What's the board's pleasure on the consent agenda?
I make a motion. We approve the consent agenda as presented.
There's a second.
Second
by Director Watts. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item three is moot. Item four, discussion regarding the following potential violations of district rules to take necessary action. Multiple wells drilled by David Maynard. Doug?
Yes, sir. So both sets of these were continued from last month. This one, there were two drilled by Mr. Maynard. I'm going to go through each one individually, and then I have a recommendation for both at the end of them. The first one was well 15204, submitted by Dalton Custom Homes, drilled by Mr. Maynard. It was submitted on April 5th, April 6th, 2021. April 6th, 2021, staff visited the site. Original proposed location was 36 feet from the property line. Staff marked a location that was 50 feet from the property line. April 7th, 2021, the updated location was approved by myself. Here are pictures taken by staff on April 6, 2021, prior to approval. You can see on the left the marked location that was moved to the approved location, coordinates, the GPS unit there at that location, and the tape measuring to the east property line. East property line is the front property line. The south property line is one of the sides. At the time, obviously, they had property lines staked in the ground because it was still under development. Here we go. Is the email that's sent out by staff with the approval stating that the coordinates and location of the well had changed. Here's the map that was created on April 6th before approval showing the approved location. And here's the approved location. Here's where the well's drilled. Not too far off, but it's 44 feet to property line based on this. And it's probably even closer because you can see here that's a 60-foot right-of-way in the road. So you can see it shifted over to the east. So it's probably more like 38 to 40 feet when you really measure where the property line is, because it's kind of shifted over in this image. Staff measured it. Sorry, I have that on there twice. Staff measured it in person. They came off the road a little bit, measured there, showing 44 feet. So what marked there that they went by, I think they backed off, forget how far off the property line, but it's matches up. So, Doug, yes, sir.
We're seeing this now because we brought up last month, giving them the opportunity to go out, find corners and do some math. Yep.
and
see if they can confirm it.
That was nobody ever. Kyle had updated them and asked them if they wanted to, if they would, you know, have the property lines. I mean, have the survey, the corners staked. That wasn't done. They'd also said they had some pictures that they took prior That was never provided. I know the owner, the driller, went back out there and provided us with some pictures that he took this past weekend, but I mean, they weren't, I'm happy to show those, but they weren't really relevant to the discussion.
No. Nothing substantial to prove their
case. Nothing substantial was provided to the district. No.
But that's why we're hearing it now, is because
correct.
Yeah. We wanted to give them the opportunity, which they didn't really take.
Correct. I think maybe a surveyor or something had told the driller that the property line was, and that's why I put this image up, that the property line was the road, where I just want to show you, I mean, clearly, Shannon, you look at Lassmore and I do, it clearly says 60-foot right away. And if you measure this, even on this drawn in, this is exactly 60-foot wide. It just is shifted over a little bit. So it's probably 38 to 40 feet from the property line. TDLR rules require that any wells 50 foot from a property line and any well that's not 50 foot from a property line be completed to higher standards. In other words, be pressure cemented down to 100 feet or top of water. This well is the annular seals only from 0 to 15 feet, and it was poured, not pumped downhole. So it's not, even though it is, it's less than 50 feet to a property line and not completed up to standards for a well that as it should be if it was less than 50 feet to a property line. So that's the first one. I'm going to go through the second one real quick, or as quick as you'd like. Answer any questions. Do y'all have any questions on this one before I move to the next one? Okay. The next one is well 17740, submitted by Abby and Jeffrey Bergman. Again, drilled by David Maynor. Staff went out there on June 14th, 2022. Original location was 130 foot from an existing well. Staff marked the location that was 156 feet from the existing well. It was approved the next day. Here's the image of the approved location. So if you look over here, staff went out at the same time and worked on both of these two applications because we had them in at the same time, and obviously they're right at, you know, so staff had to work around them and get them all to meet because this well was already drilled. So this well predates these two. You can see this is where staff marked it. In the field, put the driller's stake there, painted the ground. I'll have you note the little kind of the front porch on this house. Because on the next image, well, here's the email that went out, you know, stating that the location did change with the approval. And you can see here's the approved location. Here's that little porch that comes out. Here's where they drilled it. And I would go back and show you. This is where they proposed to drill it. This is where we moved it. They ended up drilling it where it was proposed. Here's staff measuring to that well to the south right here. And you can't really see, but it's 126 feet from that well.
Which puts it how many feet from the
well? How many feet from what?
The older well.
That's the measurement.
Yeah, it's 126 feet from that existing well.
Okay.
So it's 126 feet from it. They moved it roughly 30 feet. Yeah, it's to this well here that was here. And that well, that looks weird, but that well is literally right there against the house, like right at 50 feet off this line. Again, spacing of wells, you know, you're required to abide by spacing requirements, and the district can require a well to be permanently closed or plugged if it's drilled in violation of those requirements. So my recommendation on both of these is second major violation of district rules, a penalty fee of $500, and the requirement to plug existing wells 15204 and 17740. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any actions taken in regard to Mr. Maynor last month?
No, sir. We continued both. These were the only two on there last month, and there was continued.
Your proposal here is one $500 fee?
Yeah.
Not two?
Yeah, just one.
How deep would you put
it? What are they out there, 240? 240, 250?
So the bottom line is they're going to have to plug two and drill two.
Correct. 20
to 21.
Yeah.
There's room to do that? I mean, without being in the guy's living room?
Yeah, I mean, they can make it work. They can go back and drill the one that's too close to the other well, they can go back and drill it, you know, where it was supposed to be drilled and make that work.
They don't have a driveway or sidewalk there?
I don't believe so. You guys were there. You trying to remember?
The only reason why I asked that, I wanted to make sure that it's possible to be, that's not going to be back here again.
Yeah, this one, I believe, like I said, I don't know because the image is not updated, but I believe just like this, well, this one to the south, the driveway's up here. So if they move it from here to here, it'll be fine. I know for a fact this one, they have plenty of room. I talked to the owner the other day. They've got all this room up here to drill. So this one, they should drill it up here.
Doug, were they messing with this? I mean, is this just a mistake because small businesses make mistakes? Or is it trying to appease the landowner to put the well where the landowner wants?
Mike, I'm not going to speculate. But it wouldn't surprise me if home builders didn't like where the flag was and went and moved it.
Both of these were built by a developer and then sold.
Well, they were built by, both of them were submitted as the first one. This one we're looking at now was submitted by Dalton Custom Homes. The second one was submitted by the actual people that live in the house. But generally, the contact is a home builder. And the applicants themselves, you know, have very little to do with it. You know, the actual.
I would tend to think when they moved it back to what the original site they proposed was.
Correct.
They knew what they were doing.
Correct. Now, Mr. Maynor, I don't believe Mr. Maynor had any ill intent. I believe somebody moved a sign.
Excuse me now.
The driller, I believe it's very likely somebody moved the driller sign. And rather than checking his coordinates when he showed up, he just drilled where the flag and stake was.
So who's going to put the bill for the new wells? The homeowner?
No, it would be the well driller. It's on them. You know, they're the license holder. They're the ones that has to, you know.
There was a, Mike, there was a, after the meeting last month, several of the drillers stayed and talked with staff. And they made some suggestions, and the staff did as well.
Can you go back one, two?
And one of them was to remind the drillers that before they set the bit, they double check the GPS. And if it's different than what shows on the approved application, call staff.
Put the sign up again right here? That's what I want.
That's not where they drilled it, though.
I understand that. The question I'm asking here, adding on to what Tracy said, it says do not remove.
Yep.
Is there anything else we can add to that line subject to fine?
You're assuming they can read.
No, we really mean it.
Yeah. Yeah. do we need to change it in different language?
And you're correct. In some instances, we've got developers moving the location and the driller doesn't know, but the driller's still got to double check himself.
Mm-hmm.
Are we being unreasonable asking the driller to double check before they set the bid?
No.
Tim, weigh in on this because you know you got a different perspective.
I mean, I think it's pretty much straightforward. You have an approved application or registration for a water well. GPS coordinates are spelled out where the well's at. If you don't check it, and then, you know, don't check it for verification, then you're going to have an issue.
That's one of the things I conveyed in the past couple of meetings is, if they do what our staff does and takes a picture of their GPS before they set the bit and it's saying the right thing on their GPS, that helps.
It does.
On this picture, my question that comes up is we see lot 335, 336, and 337.
Mm-hmm.
On lot 337, we have a proposed site that our staff worked with so that all three of these could be drilled within regulations. Do we know 337 drilled there and didn't drill further south?
Yeah. You checked that one. It was right. They were out there. They checked so many out there.
Well, I just want to make sure that if we
close
this well, that they don't.
They'll have to find somewhere. Yeah. I know what you're saying, Shannon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just don't want to set them up for failure.
And part of the discussion I overheard with the drillers last month was if the staff marks a site that's not going to work because the house is going there, call us and we'll come back and we'll work with you to make it work.
Yep.
The idea is to make it work. And Tim's brought up a good point too. Also make sure they can get a rig back in there if they ever have to go back in.
Yep. Well, you can see this one. It's plenty far from the house, you know.
So. So, any other questions? Anybody online on this one, Doug?
I have not seen anybody asking to speak.
Okay. Per the general manager's recommendation, what's the board's pleasure? Which was a finding of a second major violation, penalty fee of $500, proposed penalty of $500, requirement to plug the existing wells. And once Mr. Manager submits a new well application to replace the wells being plugged, the well report deposits associated with the new well applications will be forfeited.
One other question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tim, what's it going to cost me if I buy this, if I get it right? If I'm seeing this correctly, somebody may have had a motive to move the well site. The driller, we don't think, did it. He just drilled where the new site was. But the penalty we're imposing is on the driller, and I understand why. What's it going to cost him to re-drill two wells a couple hundred feet?
And plug the old one.
Yeah.
Ballpark, you're probably living somewhere in the neighborhood. $20,000
per well or total?
Total. But, you know, the yards are in place, the infrastructure's there. It's not just a bare vacant lot like it was. So, containment of drilling fluids to remain on the property come into play, the accessibility, whether an approach due to bar ditches and driveways for accessibility. They could run more than that by the time it's said and done.
20,000. Bottom, low side, 20,000. If I understood you correctly, that's what I thought.
And this isn't the first time we've done this.
Yeah.
I think last month was the first time we haven't ordered a plug in the last.
Oh, there were required plugs last month too.
Okay, we've ordered plugs 4 out of the last 6 meetings.
Yeah.
Is there one of these wells that's less harmful that we can
make? I would say no, and the reason is so internally we always prioritize spacing to other wells over property lines because that well's already there and they were already there and drilled it too close to them. So in my mind, that one's worse, but then the other one isn't even drilled up to state standards. TDLR wouldn't let them keep the other one.
It's less than 50 feet from the property line.
And not completed up to TDLR standards for a well less than 50 feet to a property line.
And there's no way to retrofit it to fit.
No. So.
Like I've said before
and staff is like, you know, it's, I get it. It's a big slap, right? You know, I have to redrill a well, but. You know, we do have spacing requirements and the problem is, and you know, I probably shouldn't just come out and say this, but like, you know, got the feeling that we're not being taken very seriously. Like you didn't see the number that we had on here last month. Just in 3 days looking, we found 40 wells, 30 something wells that were drilled in the wrong location. You know? And we could find, if we went looking.
On this, it's Mr. Maynard's second major violation.
Correct.
It's not a fair question. You may not know off the top of your head. What was the first?
He had to plug a well. Same thing.
What's the time frame?
How long ago was that? Was that last year? I think it was 2021, I believe. I think it was 2021 fall of 2021.
Was it a 2021 well?
I believe it. I don't remember how long the well had been there, but it was the same situation. He drilled it 40, 50 feet, 60 feet from the approved location. It had to be plugged and re-drilled.
One of these wells was drilled this last year, wasn't it?
Yeah,
within, correct. Since last year.
Correct.
The other one may have been 2020-21.
Yeah.
15,000 number is going to be 2020-2021 number?
Yeah, that well was drilled.
Maybe about the same time as his first violation.
Correct.
Same time frame.
Correct.
So one of them has occurred since his first violation. So apparently the lesson didn't get learned.
Are these houses, some of the pictures show that appeared to be the houses were occupied?
Yes.
So people are using the water right now?
Correct.
They'll have to drill the new well before they disconnect.
Yeah, yeah. And just like any replacement, you know, you've got, 60, 90 days to plug the old well after the new one's drilled and completed and up and producing.
So the homeowner's not going to be cut off from water.
What proof are we requiring that it's the well is plugged?
State well report, or a plugging report.
Their word.
Well, we're going to go verify too. It's not, you know, these are both pretty easy to access.
A side note on this, we may want to look at a near map subscription. They often fly aerials 3 to 4 times a year.
Okay. Yeah, you'd mentioned that to me before. What do y'all pay for?
$5,000 or $6,000 a year. But it's
worth it.
I'm working on a project in Southlake right now. We have 5 pitchers in 1 year on one site. And that's shows a lot, can show construction.
Okay.
Question. Something you and Tim were talking about before the meeting. Before we had a quorum prison.
Mm-hmm.
When do you issue the new well registration? Do you send them a notice after you get the well reports and everything? You had talked about getting the plugging report before we finalize our number. Can we even do that right now?
Not if it's a replacement.
That's for a new well being drilled.
Yeah.
Asking for relocation.
Yeah.
To the second site, not a
okay.
replacement.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah.
All right. But they're supposed to, if they don't within the 60 or 90 days, then TDLR gets involved.
Correct.
And you don't need us to tell you to file that one, do you?
No.
Okay.
But we will send our staff to show them where to put it.
Correct. Just like we did last time.
Board's heard general manager's recommendation. Do I hear a motion? I'll make a motion to accept the general manager's recommendation.
Second the motion.
And a second, Director Nave. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 4B, a non-exempt well ID 8148 in Parker County, owned by Trickle Creek Ranch, LLC. Doug?
Sure. So remember, we had several non-exempt wells come in last month. This particular one here, I'll just go through it real quick. This well was drilled several years ago in 2015. It was originally submitted as a domestic well, 16 gallons a minute, met all the spacing requirements, was approved, drilled in late 2015. In October of this year, we had a list, a long list of commercial wells that we had come to find out were commercial and not domestic. And Blaine had started going out and flow testing. We actually caught a little time and Blaine went out and started flow testing some of these commercial wells. He flow tested at 20 gallons a minute. So at 20 gallons a minute, it would have been non-exempt, should have attained a permit, should have been reporting fees, yada, yada, yada. Here's the device the gray line instrument that we use for flow testing. This was hooked up between the wellhead and the pressure tank. So this was under pressure, right? Under pressure, it's going to be a little bit reduced flow rate because it's got head on it, right? At last month's meeting, the owner stated that they flow tested the well at 16 gallons a minute. I'm guessing they probably tested it after the pressure tank. I don't know. But because of that, the board continued the item till this month and asked staff to go back out there. So Blaine contacted the owner, contacted the driller. We went out there. Blaine went out there, met the driller and the owner were both on site. They cut the well. They cut the well loose from the pressure tank and measured it open flow, and it measured at about 23 gallons per minute. And we measured it with the good old fashioned bucket test in order to just so there wouldn't be any questions about the device we were using. So I even have a little video for you. Yay, entertainment. It'll play. Oh, come on. We have to go over here and play it. If you watch water flowing, that's more than 15 gallons a minute. Got the timer on there. I don't know if you can see it. It took 12.8 seconds to fill that up. You do the math, 12.8 seconds to fill up 5 gallons comes out to 23 gallons a minute. So obviously more than 17.36 gallons per minute. I think Blaine's comment was, as soon as it started flowing, the driller immediately realized that it was making more than 16 gallons a minute. I didn't mean to do that. Go to the next one. So technically, and I'm not just putting up this for, I mean, it's a lot of potential violations, right? They didn't never have a meter on. They never read the meter. They never reported for, I mean, two reporting periods in 2020, two in 2021, one in 2022, and now we're into our second in 2022. So just a ton of potential violations. However, let me meet this person. My recommendation is that we find a first minor violation for multiple failures to conduct a meter reading, a first major violation for multiple failures to both submit groundwater production report within the required periods and failure to submit associated groundwater production fees within 60 days, requirement to submit estimate to the satisfaction of the GM of groundwater produced from January 2020 through June 2022 by December 16th. That was from last month. So I would say by mid-January of 2023, pay the groundwater use fees associated with that estimated production with a 25% late penalty. A second major violation for failure to obtain a permit, a $1,000 penalty fee associated with the second major violation. And I would say that is the penalty fee we've assessed to each person that has pumped a non-exempt well and not obtained a permit, and requirement to submit an estimate of groundwater produced July of this year through now, and then pay the fees with no late penalty on that by January 31st, and then enter into an agreement with the district for the ongoing measurement of water levels in the well. So we have another monitoring well. I took off the requirement to reduce the flow rate from the well because they've already done that. December 5th, I believe Blaine went out there. I didn't put the picture on here, and they've installed a device to reduce the flow rate to 15 gallons a minute from the well.
Doug, what's the difference in this recommendation and what we did with Camp El Tesoro last month?
It's the same. The same recommendation.
And we held this one over, not unlike the last one, to give them an opportunity.
Yeah, this one, because they had sent us a letter and then stated on during the meeting that they'd flow tested it at 16 gallons a minute. Like, okay. So we went back out there to
double check them.
Double check. And, you know, as I said earlier, we flow tested at 20. We knew it was under pressure. You know, when you remove the pressure, it's going to flow higher. And it flowed about 23 gallons a minute. Open flow.
Now that they're below 17.3, they won't have to report semi-annually, correct?
Correct. It's just an exempt. It's an exempt commercial well, exempt based on under 17.
Process.
Correct. Yeah, this is pretty much standard for any of non-exempt wells. The
we monitor it for a period of time?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Measure water levels in perpetuity.
Okay. And obviously, if it starts pumping more than it should, we'll go back to where we'll revisit this. And they will pay production fees for the reporting. Yep. I guess 6 reporting periods, correct?
Yes.
Or parts there.
And technically, this could go back to all the, I mean, well, it would be hard to say if it pumped more in 25, but since 2020, yeah. So 6 reporting periods.
Do we need to give a time limit when to pay the fee?
Yeah, I would say for the penalty fee, you know, the $1,000 penalty fee, submit an estimate of production, pay that with the late penalty by middle of next month, you know, 30 days.
You think they can get that all in 30 days or 60 days?
Yeah, that's reasonable.
I think it needs to be put in the
motion.
Okay.
But there should be a time frame on it.
Okay.
Unless anyone has a concern, I'd rather say the 31st of next month.
It's fine. Works for me. Submit all the requirements by the 31st of next month.
We have 2 holidays here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How many days did you say?
The 31st of next month.
January 20th.
Okay. 31st. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. We can just Christmas, do all
New Year's, all of that. We just give them.
Yeah. We just get all requirements by the 31st.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Can do that.
I make that recommendation or make that motion with the stipulation of the 31st of next month to have all
requirements. I'll second it.
Okay. Have a motion to approve the general manager's recommendation with a January 31st,
2023
deadline. Any further discussion? And I have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Was Matt, was he going to speak on anything in particular? The gentleman was sitting next to me. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
So
okay. Okay. Well, I forgot to ask him if he wanted to speak, and he didn't speak up. So, okay. Item 5 is management report, general manager's report, report on delinquent customers, report on education and outreach, report of injection well applications with the Railroad Commission and well registration and groundwater. I do have one thing, at least one under this. What's the update with our Intera software update?
Last time I spoke with Wade, they were making good progress. I expect early next year.
That's in the first quarter?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I keep seeing the staffs were unable to run the models.
Yeah, that's my expectation, but, you know.
And I know you discussed it. How are we resolving that issue?
Oh, with the Intera? They end up footing half the bill to transition it over to that IT firm to.
Okay. Who will handle the software in the future?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Anything in particular out of your general manager report?
Not unless you saw anything you want to talk about.
Other than I saw potentially half dozen items for the next month's agenda?
I'm hoping not. Yeah. But no, it is what it is.
I'm going to bet at least 3 of them.
Probably. Yeah.
At your places, everyone, you had a letter from Jack Burgess. Mm-hmm. He's been on the agenda.
You want me to kind of sum up that?
Yeah. Was it September or October?
I think it's September, maybe October. They drilled the well, received approval, drilled the well, then subdivided the property around the well. They kept it 2 acres, but it's less than 50 feet to the property line. We asked them to just fix that, right? Either move the property line because it's the property he sold it to his son-in-law. So he said, move the property line. They came in, weren't super pleasant. But ultimately when they came in to meet, you know, they said they weren't interested in moving the property line. So we talked about, well, maybe you could just for that lot and the lot next to it, another 2-acre lot that he'd severed and sold to another son-in-law. They can combine the groundwater estate to make it a 4-acre groundwater estate. And that would, and I talked to Brian, I floated that idea during our meeting with them. They said that sounded great. I told them I would visit with our attorney. I talked to our attorney. Our attorney said that would work perfect. We let them know that our attorney said that was good. And they said, you know what? We don't want to do that. We're going to apply for an exception. So that's where we are. So next month I'll have them on there they're going to ask for an exception. you know, at the very least, you know, we'll see where that goes. I have some, it's not on the agenda, so I'm not going to give a recommendation, but I have some recommendations if we choose to go that path on that.
At this point, they need, does this letter constitute a request to be on the agenda next month?
They've submitted an application for an exception.
They have?
Yes.
So
it's going to be on the agenda next month.
It'll be on the agenda for next month.
Correct.
Okay.
They're asking, they submitted an application for exception.
Correct.
And they're within 30-something feet, 33 feet of the property line.
Correct.
And that's going to be contrary to TDLR.
Yep.
There was really very little we could actually do.
Yeah. Yep. When we've talked to, I don't know how TDLR is going to view, you know, family. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for TDLR, but yeah, I know what their rules say. So
this raises a question. They've carved off a separate tract of land.
Yeah.
They're within the 50 feet of the property line. Is that a 2-acre part they parceled off? Okay. So they're okay on the 2 acres.
Yeah. The issue is, and I visited with the county, you know, obviously if this was something that had gone through platting, we would have caught this and it wouldn't have been issued. But because it's family severing and selling, they were exempt from the platting process. And that's because Parker County submits us all the plats, so we catch stuff like this, right? But because it was, you know, family selling to family, they didn't have to plat it with the county, and therefore we didn't catch it before they severed the property off. But like I said, we came up with a pretty good resolution that would not require changing property lines and just some minimal paperwork. I even told them I'd, you know, we'd help review and, you know, make sure the documentation was done upright. But I don't know.
We'll be glad to talk to him next month.
Yep.
Say what?
We'll be glad to talk to him next month.
Yes. We'll deal with it then. So
I'm not going to be here on the
night. Anything else, Tracy, that you'd like me to go over?
No. Does anybody else have any questions for the general manager? Mike and Doug, where are we on investments?
So Mike had asked me to, or asked us to reach out to, I guess, Fidelity. To talk about some options with them. You know, I visited with them, and then Mike and I had a Zoom meeting with them right the day before last month's meeting. Left outstanding after that meeting was, you know, basically I kind of getting them to, it's kind of where we're moving our CDs under them, we're depositing with them, and they're going out and putting them in there. And then we could also have access to some other securities and other investments that are allowed under the law. And the question was, if we did that, would we need that letter that we get from all the institutions signed just by Fidelity or by every institution that they invest in? I visited with Brian. Brian put me in contact with a really sharp investment guy that was real familiar with the Investment Act. And, you know, no, we would just need them to sign that letter. And we may even be able to relax that language some if we chose to, which may make it a little bit more agreeable to some banks. So I'm going to work with them. I think hopefully if this works out, maybe next month, I have a recommendation to add them to approved depositories and begin doing some work and investments with them.
We've got at least one CD that matures next month.
Correct. And did you get you got a rate on one recently that's about to mature? The rates are better. I mean, they're getting much better, obviously.
Let me elaborate just a little bit so you all have a better understanding of it. Fidelity has a very user-friendly site that you go to. So once you have an account, you can go there and you can pull up. Fidelity, let's say Bank of America needs $20 million. Well, they don't want to do CDs themselves. They contact Fidelity and say, Fidelity, we're willing to pay 4.6%. You get people to invest in these CDs. They're FDIC insured. And there's dozens of banks, and they change hourly if you monitor it closely. And you can go in and you can pick up a 3, 6, 3, 6, 9, 12, 18, 24-month CDs. 36 go on for out for up to 10 years. And you literally can hit a button and buy it. And it's FDIC insured. And what it is, it's the same thing as walking down the street, going to the local bank and getting a CD. So it's something that will make it very easy for staff. The problem is that you can also buy, you know, anything out there just by hitting a button. And that's the problem with complying with state law. You know, we can't be buying stock and cryptocurrency, you know.
I'm being recorded or I'd make a joke.
Oh, so, you know, there's a lot of advantages. Typically what they offer is CDs, treasuries, zero coupons, government securities, and then your AAA, AA, and triple B bonds, all at different rates. So that's what we're looking at doing.
Because as much money as we've got, we ought to be getting some.
Well, 1%, we've got $2 million. And right now, you can, as of a few hours ago, you can, y'all check around for your CDs at local banks. You'll be lucky if you can get 3.5. You could buy CDs a few hours ago at 4.7. Well, a 1.5% difference on $2 million is $30,000 a year. That's a lot of money.
I had an ad from Edward Jones' place today at 4.5 for CDs.
Well, you can still 4.7 about 4 o'clock.
So.
Like I said, I'm going to continue to work with them, and hopefully if it all works out and they agree, bring back a recommendation next month to add them as a depository and start transitioning some funds over to them.
No,
I know that. Our financial institutions we work with, are they in all four counties?
No, the Investment Act and our investment policy just requires that they have a brick and mortar within the state of Texas.
Okay.
But we've basically, with the exception of a few new ones, we've exhausted most of the banks within our district that would accept our funds.
Primarily because of the verbiage we require.
Correct.
So, this is one area we need to address. And you are.
No, if it works out, you know, when Mike brought it up to me and I started looking into it, if it works out, it's going to be very beneficial.
So,
right.
Anything else on the general manager's report? Note that the new well applications are down.
Yeah.
Staff is breathing a little easier. They're going back and checking other things they haven't been able to check for a while. So, anything else on manager's report? If not, item 6, review line item expenditures and adopt budget amendments, including moving assigned funds from facilities building fund to the 2022 budget.
Yeah, Tracy, this is just our normal end of the year cleanup to balance the budget. Most of this stuff, you know, obviously we weren't expecting fuel to do what it did this year. Property development, that's finishing up the paving. Hey, Brian, we can hear you.
That's next year.
Equipment repair and maintenance. That was the commercial garage door down there on the shop. Had to get fixes. Threw that over. Other stuff. A couple other, you know, medical insurance. Some stuff we did earlier this year, but nothing major. Just cleaning stuff up. If you have any questions, happy to answer them. Just giving us some room so we don't go over anything, you know, end of the year.
Doug and staff have done a good job about not being overly spendy.
Yeah, we came on. I mean, I don't know the final, but we're under budget quite a bit.
Yeah. And we've actually almost brought in the entire year's revenue without even the SA2 numbers.
Yeah.
So. Chair, entertain a motion to approve the budget amendments and including the moving assigned funds.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Brian, you have a general counsel's report?
Oh, there's not too much to report down here. We're working with the legislative committees on interim reports related to groundwater. PUC had its sunset hearing, and I think they're going to try to beef up some of the water and legal staff at PUC. We're going to have a new executive director and assistant and deputy executive director over at TCEQ. Lots of folks are moving around, but otherwise everything's okay.
Thank you, Brian. Our next meeting is Thursday, January 19th at 5 p.m. here in the district office. Does anybody have anything they know that needs to be on the agenda?
I'm not going to be here.
You're not going to be here next month either?
Okay. Not the 19th.
Okay. So,
if possible, just to make sure, review of the last year's expenditures.
Yeah, we'll go over that. And if you want, I'll send it to you ahead of time and we can talk about it if you have any questions.
Yeah. Just, if nothing else, and show us adjourned at 6:12.